So good to have every one of you in the house of the Lord. Nice to see it full up this morning. God is so good. I trust that the Lord will have something to say to each one of us, challenge our hearts. I'm really, you know, we all have been praying. The leadership of the church has been really praying that the Lord would do something for all of us, that our church, that as Christians, we would really rise up and be who we are supposed to be. I want to encourage you very strongly to come and attend the Zoom Bible classes. We're very good, glad to have the group from Genting, right? All the guys from Genting, formerly Genting. Would you just stand so they know who you are? Just stand. They want to see you. Stand. All right, nice to see all you guys with us. So nice to see you with us. Thank you. Welcome. Now, if you are a Christian, listen to me very carefully now. This is Bible. I'm not saying this because I'm the pastor. I'm saying it because Jesus said it. If you are a Christian and you are abiding in Christ, and if you are a person who's reading the Word of God and the Word of God is getting into you, the natural outflow will be prayer and answered prayer. John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking, verse 7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask automatically. You will start to ask for the right things and it shall be done unto you. Very simple. Christianity is not a difficult thing. It is a very simple thing if we just follow the instructions. If you will abide in me, and I am abiding in you, and my word abides in you, you will ask. You will not be afraid to come in prayer. The outflow will be prayer. And when you pray, my Father is going to do it for you. Come on, amen? And we need to understand, that's why I speak a lot about prayer. Because prayer brings you into another realm altogether. It's funny because I was sharing with a group, you know, and I was saying, I like to study what's happening in our world, in our universe. And one of the guys was talking about how fast the earth is spinning around the moon. And how fast the moon is spinning around the earth, sorry. Pastor failed. Okay. And how fast we are going around the sun. And how fast the sun is moving. And how fast our whole galaxy. And he said, if you look at just one of the stars up there, every star has its own galaxy. But all of it seems to be moving at rapid pace. I mean, by hundreds and thousands of miles per second towards what they call the great attractor. They will not give that attractor its name. But we call him Jesus. Come on. I call him Jesus. Amen. He made all things. They cannot understand how everything seems to be rushing towards what they coin as the great attractor. And that is our Lord and our Savior. We know where everything will culminate. It comes into the presence of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? We are serving a risen Savior. He's in the world today. This morning, I'd like us to go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, just the first portion of it. Many of us know the scripture by memory. But you will receive power, Amplified Bible, and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I'd like to talk about empowered and enable. Empowered simply means authority. Enable means the ability. Authority and ability. In 1974, one of the great theologians by the name of Peter Wagner wrote a book entitled Look Out, the Pentecostals Are Coming. And it was a message to all churches. People began to read the book, all denominations, Catholic and Protestant. There was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all. But he said, it is the Pentecost, and he emphasized a lot on the Assemblies of God. And the reason why the Assemblies of God, even till today, is the largest, the fastest growing denomination is because of the move of the Holy Spirit. And we need to recognize that. But unfortunately, in many Assembly of God churches today, not only in Malaysia, but also mainly in the places where it began, are all experiencing a decline because they put the Holy Spirit on a back burner. They said, okay, if y'all want to speak in tongues, y'all want to do all these Pentecostal things, do it in the other room. Don't do it in the main congregation because we want to be people friendly. Listen, we don't want to be just people friendly. We want to be God friendly. We want to do what God tells us to do. When we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit, many things begin to happen. Now, the scripture, I've been reading this and I memorize it, of course, you know, Assemblies of God people, we all know the scripture. But you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we're seeking the power. But what was Jesus saying to his disciples? He was basically saying, what I have felt for a long, long time, you are powerless. That's why he said, you must receive power. You have to receive power, and that comes from the Holy Spirit. You do not have the power. They had the greatest teaching ever given. We have it in the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus, the greatest teaching ever. Many from other religions use the teachings as well. They quote it in big meetings where they want to, you know, let the people be positive. They talk about going the second mile. All these things come from Jesus. The greatest teaching ever. They had the greatest presence of the greatest teacher. Today we would call him the Lamb who is the GOAT. The greatest of all time. The GOAT. Greatest of all time. So they had the greatest teaching, the greatest teacher being with them, imparting to them every time he spoke. And yet he said to them, it is good that I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. It is necessary. It is expedient. I must. It is good for you. It is to your advantage, another translation says. Because you guys are powerless. You have all the information that you need. All the sermons that you need to hear to turn the world upside down. You've got it all. I've shared everything that I have to share. All that the Father has given to me, I have shared it all with you. But still, you are powerless. Intellectual information will not help you. I look at you guys and you are powerless because just 40 days earlier, every one of you ran away. Not one of you stood with me. When I told you guys, come up with me to the mountain and pray, you guys slept while I prayed. So you see, there are many things that happen where the glory of God was about to be revealed revealed on Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples were sleeping. They didn't understand what was happening. They missed the whole thing. Who am I? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. So with all of that, you guys are powerless. And then when I went to the cross, all you guys ran away and then you locked yourself in the room afraid of the Jews. You are powerless. Therefore, you need the power. Come on. Powerless. And the word here that he uses, all right, let me share with you the first point. We need the power to be. You shall receive power and you shall be. And the word there is martus, which means martyrs. When you receive power, you will be so willing to even joyfully die for me. Are you kidding? These guys just denied the Lord. But he says, when the power of God comes upon you, you shall be so transformed that you would be willing, like Peter said at the end of his life, don't crucify me like my Lord, crucify me upside down. That's how he died. Are you all following with me? So we need the power to be all that God wants us to be. Now, I'm not saying that God wants us all to be martyrs. I'm saying he wants me to be a better pastor. He wants me to be a better father, grandfather. Wants me to be a better husband. Wants me to be a better friend. Wants you to be a better colleague. Wants you to be a better student, a better child. You know, as God's people, all young people, listen, we should excel. Before I came to the Lord, I was a complete failure. I was not interested in studies, nothing. Just want to play all the time. Have fun. But once I knew that God would cause us to become wiser than our teachers, come on. Have you noticed? Now, you're like, don't look at the phone now, okay? But Google and check Waze millionaires. You know, you all use Waze? Look, Waze millionaires. Don't look now, huh? The whole picture of all the young people who had been involved in making of Waze. The first person who started it, he got 6% of the profit. That's about 70 over million US dollars. 6%. All of them, the whole group of them taking a picture, all young people. How is this possible? Because God had made a covenant with his own people saying, that's why we call the Jewish race a blessed race, because his covenant is not broken. This is expected of God's people, that they excel in every area of life. But we need the power to become all that God needs us to be. A better husband, a better wife. Come on, you're all quiet this morning. How many of you can agree you need power to be? We are human what? Beings, not human being. We are beings. We are becoming more and more. For as many as received him, to them he gave power to become. Not just declared, but power to become who you are supposed to be, sons and daughters of God. Come on, amen. Amen. To be a better Christian witness, wherever I'm working, starts today. I can change. You know, I was just, you know, praying before the service began. John the Baptist was out there in the wilderness, went out to the wilderness. People came by the masses wanting to be baptized, because at that time, to be baptized by this religious person was, you know, something wonderful. So they all came to him to be baptized. You know what John the Baptist said? No, go back home. Go back home and then come back bringing evidence that you have changed, then I will baptize you. So they had to go back home, show that they had changed, because John lived in the wilderness. He could wait. And then bring evidence. What kind of evidence? They had to bring the wife. You tell John whether I change or not. The wife will say, this man now really changed. Bring your children. I want to talk to your children. And ask the children to testify. Because I shared before in the men's fellowship or in the Father's Day, you are not who you think you are, not who your friends say who you are. You are who your sons, your daughters describe you to their friends. How do they talk to their friends about you? So I need the power of God. We are not perfect. We are all getting there. But it begins at some point where we say to God, God, I need your power to become who I am supposed to be. Come on. If you do those things that are pleasing to God, you can ask for anything and it shall be done. That's what the Bible says, man. I'm not saying that. And God is true to his word. He will watch over his word to perform it. Come on, say amen. He's watching over his word. If you would just do his word, then you are going to see some great results. Only the Holy Spirit can restore the image that we lost. When God created man, he created man in the image and in the likeness of God. We were like God. The enemy lied to man and said, oh, if you take the fruit, you shall become like him. He already created Adam and Eve like him. But they listened to a lie. So now what happened is Jesus comes. That's why he's called the last Adam, to restore us back. And he says, guys, listen to me. You cannot make it without the Holy Spirit. So wait. He died for their sins already. He resurrected. They had the gospel, the full gospel, to preach about Jesus' death and his resurrection. But still he said, wait. And they waited for 10 days. And he just wanted to know who are the ones that were really serious about waiting, because there were 500 that got this instruction, but only 120 remain. And it is to them the power of God came, and instantly everything changed. Here is this man who denied Jesus before, a young girl, Peter, denying the Lord. 50 days later, he's standing before thousands of people, and out of the thousands, 3,000 came to the Lord. But he stands before all of them and says, "You guys murdered him. You killed him. You put him on a cross." I mean, he was so bold. What happened? The power to be, the transforming power of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written. I mean, you don't know what you can become. You do not know what you can become. Power to see, the next one. 1 Corinthians 2:9, as it is written, "Eye has not seen, ear heard, nor entered the heart of man the things that God has placed or prepared for those who love him." We have not seen, we do not know, we cannot see clearly like we should see. We think we know just whatever we have, we look in the natural. We do not have the ability to see these things. But then the following verse says this, verse 9, "Eye has not seen," verse 19 and verse 20. Verse 20, "But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Eye has not seen, ear not heard, but God has revealed them." How has He revealed them to us? By His Spirit. The Holy Spirit can open our eyes to see things that we have never seen before. I'm not talking about you getting into a trance and suddenly beginning to see weird things. Sometimes people see a lot of weird things. I remember, you know, that there was this sister in our church. It's not always the sister, but it happened to be a sister. "Oh, Pastor, I saw angels, Pastor, I saw angels. Angels, Pastor, floating all over the place, angels." I asked her to describe the angels. She described Cupid. Serious. She described you like babies, Pastor, like babies with little wings flying all over the place. That's not the angel. The angel in the Bible, if you see the angel in the Bible, you will fall down as a dead person. That's what he says. Whenever they saw an angel, they fell down, and the angel said, "Stand up, stand up." They wanted to worship the angel. The angel said, don't worship me, worship God. They are so powerful, right? But that's not the point. It's not talking about those things. Talking about the things that God wants you to see that you have as your inheritance. We do not know the riches. That's why Paul prays that God will open our understanding that we might see the riches of our inheritance. There is so much that God has for you as a child of God. We just don't know. Like someone once said, if you knew that suddenly somebody had deposited so many millions of dollars into your bank account, how would you behave? See, when we know that we are rich in Christ, our behavior begins to change. We don't function as beggars. We function as sons of God. We may not have a lot of wealth, but we are able to bless people with whatever we have. For freely we have been given, freely we give. There's nothing that holds us back. Our hands are always open to help, to bless with whatever we can. Come on, amen. That's the way we ought to be functioning, power to see what God wants us to see. Number three, and I have to do this again, power to pray. Power to pray. I need the Holy Spirit, man, I'm telling you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. But in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us. Everybody say, helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. He's not here to hinder us. He's not here to hantam us. He's here to help us. He really wants to help us to do what? With our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. I mean, this is so real. I find this to be so real in my life. Ever since, I've been asking the Holy Spirit to help me to pray. And as I read the word, man, almost every scripture that I go through, I mean, as I'm going through different chapters, suddenly different scriptures would be there. And say, oh, this is, I would pray that scripture. He would lead me in praying. That's why I'm saying prayer and the word must go together. God, I've said this and you heard me say this before, God is not obligated to meet your need, but He is obligated to meet His word. Once He has put it down in His word, you can take it to the bank. You can pray it and watch God do some amazing things in your life. I'm telling you, I've seen some amazing things happen, not only in me, but I've seen things happen for me. A couple of weeks from now, we'll be going over to Vietnam. When I go to places like this, I go with a total dependence upon the Lord. Listen, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. Because sometimes you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to say. But your heart is really crying to God. You're saying, God, I don't know how to pray. But the fact is, He's reading your heart. He knows that your heart desires certain things, but you don't know how to bring the desire before Him. You don't know how to pray for certain individuals. You don't know how to pray for a situation. He knows your heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, 17, down right at the bottom. He can be touched by the feelings. This is the thing I love about God. He's not only touched by the words that we say, He's touched by how we feel. You know how we feel. And so sometimes I don't know what to say. I just say, Lord, You know what I'm feeling about the situation. You know what is it I really desire. And You pour, you bear your heart before Him. Nothing like being honest and open. That's why I want you to attend the Bible studies, because we're talking about our Father in heaven. Listen, that's a beautiful prayer to memorize, but it's not meant to be memorized, put on a plaque and put on your wall. It is meant to be exercised. So you understand the meaning of what God meant. It was not just, I want you all to pray this. So everybody just prays that prayer. Jesus said, must pray that prayer. So you just pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's not what he meant. Understand what that prayer means. It's very rich. I told Pastor Lifeline, it's only 4 verses, but 8 lessons. 8 40-minute lessons. And still not complete. That's just touching the surface. Never really get into it. But the power to pray, God looks upon the heart. And often I would just bare my heart. I would say, God, I don't know. You know my heart. You know what I'm feeling. You know what is it I really desire. And the Holy Spirit building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you start praying, as you allow the Holy Spirit to help you, guess what happens to you? You are building yourself. You become a stronger person. Pastor Life and I, sometimes we talk and we listen to people, the way they speak, you begin to think, where have you been? You're a believer for so long. Why is it the slightest thing you can collapse? That's not the way it's meant to happen. You are meant to be lifting people who don't know Jesus up. You know, I always remember with amazement, Sister Elizabeth, Sister Rajani, both their sons were taken away in terrible accidents. Young guys, but the fortitude that they had, the way they stood and shared their testimony, wishing that other people would come to know the Lord. I will never forget the first time it happened with Rakesh. Is it Rakesh? Huh? Rajan, sorry. Rajan, with Rajan, when he passed on. Right here, the service was right here. But they came up and they testified. I mean, you sit there and think, how can this be? Their son, handsome young guy, how can they do that? Here, Elizabeth coming up and sharing. And you think, how is this possible? This can only be possible through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on. Only through the strength and the power of God. All right, number 4. Power to speak. You shall receive power, Amplified Bible. You will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. In other words, Here is what the Living Bible says. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to testify about me with great effect to the people in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. You guys were hiding. You were so afraid to talk about me. You denied me before a little girl. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to give you the ability to speak to people. I shared with you before, when I became a Christian, I was the weird one, in the sense that all the Christians look Christian. They all spoke not only in tongues, but they spoke Christianese. You know, I mean, you have Cantonese, you've got Christianese. They had Christian language. My language was bad to the bone, okay? Every few words was bad. But God, when He filled me with the Holy Spirit, took out the bad words. But so when He took out the bad words, I didn't know language anymore. I didn't know how to speak. David, I'm from Penang, you know, so Hokkien words are all come out, very fast one. God washed my mouth. So when all the bad words came out, I was my vocabulary was limited. Okay, so I don't know. And then I hear them saying, I was just a young believer, just very young, a few months old. And then in the church, all of them talking about, must preach, must share Jesus. Everybody must share Jesus. Thinking, how do I share Jesus, man? How do I share Jesus? Huh? And then they use John chapter 15. If you do not bring forth fruit, God will cut you off and throw you into the fire. Huyo. And the fruit means souls. That's what they say. Actually, it's wrong interpretation. But the fruit means the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, bring forth. But that's what they preach. You must bring forth fruit. So I thought, I don't bring anybody to the Lord means I will go to hell. He's going to throw me into the fire. So what do I do? Those days, y'all don't know anything about it. Or maybe it's just being introduced. Paper bags. Y'all remember paper bags or not? Where got plastic bag one? All paper bag, right? Paper bag and paper umbrella. Very big one. Poof, open, huh? Paper bags. Two paper bags. Fill it up with tracks. Those that they had tracks. Little testimonies and how to find Jesus. Go up to the flats where I used to take drugs. Now, some of you will know the flats. It's called Rifle Range Flats or Boundary Road Flats. Very bad area. That's where we used to take drugs. 16 stories. Start from the top to the bottom. Nobody with me, just alone. Go to every house, put a track inside the door and keep praying. Please, Lord, don't let them come out. Because if they come out and talk to me, I don't know what to say. What am I going to say? I don't know anything. I don't know about all. I don't know. So I just, I don't even know how to say, come to church. Okay, so anyway, I realized that something that I got to share. And it's because of that, my brother once knew what I was doing. I never tell anybody, but my brother heard, yeah, what are you doing? I said, I go and give track. You really want to see people come to the Lord? Yeah, okay, come go to Bible school. So I was not called by God to go into the ministry. I'm still waiting for Him to uncall me. I just volunteered. We need to share the gospel. Listen to this one. The other time, I was reading Mark's gospel and suddenly it dawned on me. Listen to what he says, Mark chapter 13, verse 10 and 11. This gospel must first be preached to all nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. And when I read that, I'm thinking this is one of the complaints many people make. I don't know what to share. And so I said, Lord, now to me as a preacher, I shared that with our pastors. I said, pastors, why must we wait to be arrested and brought before princes and judges? Then the Holy Spirit help us. Why can't we say, Lord, why must I be arrested before you can be with my mouth? Can you not help me to speak now? when I stand before friends, before my colleagues, when I'm with different individuals, can you not be with my mouth? See, this is what I call learning to pray in the Spirit. You take a scripture like this and you say, Lord, I don't know how to speak. And yet you said, when I brought before individuals, you will be, do not worry about it. I will be with your mouth. See, the reason why we can talk the way we talk is because we are trusting the Holy Spirit to be with my mouth. You think, whoa, pastor, you go sit down, you memorize the whole scripture. No, I don't. I read the word. And so when I speak, the Holy Spirit will help me bring scriptures to my mind. It is not like something I have in my notes. It is just comes out. Because the Holy Spirit will be with your mouth. The main thing is, He's looking if you are willing to talk to somebody. And if you do, He's going to help you. All He's waiting for is, go ahead, start. Go ahead, start. Many years ago, I was in Australia and ministering and all of that. Then I was speaking to a man of God, all man of God who was used mightily by the Holy Spirit. And I said, sometimes I feel, I don't really have a word that I would like to give to the people, like a prophecy kind of thing. Is it all right if I just start? He said, oh, David, he said, you don't understand. God loves that. If you want to bless somebody, you want to pray for them, a prayer from the Lord to them, just go ahead and pray. Don't worry. He will be with your mouth. He wants you to step out of the boat. If you want to experience walking on water, step out of the boat. You want to experience a miracle, just try, man. Start just saying something and He will help you. You shall receive power to speak. Last of all, and everybody say, the power to demonstrate. This is what I'm praying will happen in our church every Sunday. The power to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Listen to what Jesus said. If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out devils or demons, then the kingdom of God has come. We are praying, your kingdom come. How is the kingdom of God going to come? When I allow the Spirit of God to move in a way to demonstrate the kingdom. Demons, demonic powers, demonic holds over people's lives, their families, their bodies in sicknesses, all these things must break. Come on, say amen. It must be demonstrated in the presence of God. These things must be broken. Poverty is another curse of the enemy. It must be broken. Come on, can I hear amen? All these things must be broken over people's lives. Sicknesses. Chains of addiction. Come on. Depression. What's this? It shouldn't be in the house of God. See, when Jesus came into the house of God, there was a woman sitting there who was bent over for 18 years. In the house of God. Jesus said she's a daughter of Abraham, but still bound and bent over like this. 18 years. So people can come in and on the outside they are hallelujah, but inside they are bent over. Satan has bound. And so the demonstration of the kingdom of God is to break the power of demonic powers that want to have a hold over your mind, where you have sleepless nights, nightmares. All this is not of God. God wants to break those things. That's why we come to church, to see and experience the reality of God's power. You shall receive power. Come on, amen. All right, 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil. Now, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy. The devil is not destroyed, he's still active, but the works of the devil are destroyed. When he came to the cross, he destroyed the works. But to put it into effect in our lives, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he didn't do it himself. He says, if I, by the Spirit of God, break these things, it shall happen. Therefore, I believe that every time you come to the altars to pray for different issues, I am believing God with all of my heart that he will be present to demonstrate his kingdom, because that's what we are praying. Why did I go into this Bible study? Because I believe that's what God wants us to know. We can pray, his kingdom come, and then he will demonstrate it by the presence of his Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? Amen. May all these things happen. This is what he said to the disciples. Disciples, listen, you cannot do it. You are powerless. You are powerless. You need the Holy Spirit. That is why we keep praying for the Holy Spirit to manifest himself. Can I hear an amen? Why don't you stand with me right now? Let's stand together.